looking at number 8 from the
supplement. So before I get started, there's plenty of them up here. I'll be glad to bring some around to make sure. Well, I said that. Here's 2. If you would raise your hand if you don't have access to one, I'll be glad to bring you one. Okay, 2 right there. And here's 3. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you need one. Nobody? Everybody's got one? Y'all got access to one? Oh, Walt says he needs one. Here you go, Walt. Anybody else? Good, good. All good. Down there, Ty. And Daisy? Okay. And did you pick out an invitation song, too?
Okay.
This one? Okay. All right. No. Got it. Got it. Okay. Just want to make sure everybody had a book. So, how long to the morning? The morning is an interesting idea that comes up in several ways in Scripture. And the song, as the songs often do, explores this in several different perspectives. So as you probably would imagine, there's 3 verses. Each verse kind of looks at morning in a slightly different way. And so we'll be, and they're all connected with spiritual concepts similar to morning. The morning in the Bible is usually used as a picture of a good thing. So morning is usually something that's a positive image. I'll give you a couple of examples of that. In Lamentation, we're told, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning is a new start, a fresh start. And every day we awaken to the mercies of God. Every morning we receive new mercies from God. Another one that's beautiful, my heart is steadfast, O God. And this is basically where I think that song that we just sang comes from. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. We just sang, I will wake the dawn with praises. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. It's interesting to look through the Psalms. There's times when the psalmist talks about being up late at night and talking to God, meditating upon God in the watches of the night, in his bed at night. So that, you know, during the evening time, and then there's psalms that refer to the morning. And then this is an example. I will wake the dawn with praises. I will wake the dawn. I will wake, you know, his creation with singing praises to my God. So just a beautiful imagery there of this morning time. And so I want to look at now the message of this song and tie it in with some scriptures that go along with it. So first of all, it starts out with verse number 1. Consider, the author says, the mornings of this mortal land. So think about morning time is what he's saying. Each a new beginning from the Maker's hand. That's the idea of, you know, they're new every morning. Every day we're blessed with a new blessing from God. While the storms may gather against the evening sky, the day breaks cloudless in the morning. I'm sure we've all had, it is really amazing, isn't it, that some of the most dramatic turnabouts or how a stormy day can lead to a beautiful day. It's really almost freaky sometimes how there'll be like the worst weather, you know, some tornado, nasty, dark, winds blowing, howling, and then like a lot, very often, it just happens, I guess, the way the weather works, but very often, the day following will be just a crystal clear, blue skies, beautiful kind of day. So very often, the stormy weather is followed up by a new day. And there's a metaphor there, of course, about life. A lot of times the challenges, the difficulties, the storms of life, we sort of have to just make it through, but we have the hope of a dawn. There's a hope of a new day that we will awaken and things will be better, that there's going to come, you know, this storm will pass, that difficult times come to pass. They come, but they don't last forever. And it's like a storm. It's like a stormy night, where you're laying there and you're hearing the thunder and you're hearing the wind and you feel the, you know, the bad weather, but you know that hopefully in the morning will be a beautiful day. And that's the way that often works. It brings to mind a particular storm in our in the Bible. If you would turn to Acts chapter 27, I'll have most of the verses on the screen, but this one's a little too long. Acts chapter 27. What was happening here was Paul himself was on a ship that was in a storm. And really this whole chapter gives this story, adventure story almost of a journey to Rome that included a shipwreck. And it's a fascinating story. But just for the sake of tonight, I'm just going to zoom in on three verses, 27 through 29. So they've been out in the sea. They've been adrift. They've been rocked by storms. And it says, when the 14th night, verse 27, so 2 weeks into this horrible event, when the 14th night had come, we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors suspected they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther, they took a sounding again and found 15. What they're doing is they're lowering down and they're measuring how deep is the water. So they get nervous as in the middle of the night, you know, you just picture it's crashing and rock and roll, the winds, and they just get a sense that they must be maybe nearing some land. I don't know what made them think that, but somehow the sailors had this feeling, we might be getting close to land. And that's a bad thing. At night, in a storm, in a ship, if you were driven into the rocks, you'd sink. And so to see if they're getting close to land, they lower down and they say, oop, now they count it, they measure it, they say 20 fathoms. They wait a little bit, they do it again, 15. What's that telling you? It's getting shallower, right? So if it was 20 and now it's 15, it's going to keep getting shallower. We must be, the bottom's coming up in the direction we're going, is what they're saying. So it says, verse 29, fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. I thought, that's an interesting picture, isn't it? They throw the anchors out, and they prayed for daytime. Because you just got to make it through, right? You got to survive tonight. We got to make it in the morning. We'll be able to see. We'll know if we're like right here beside some island. We'll know how far we are. We'll be able to maybe see the shoals. So what can you do? You throw the anchors out and pray for day. And sometimes life is like that. Sometimes it's rocking and rolling and stormy and you're frightened and you don't know how it's going to turn out and you hold on to your anchor for dear life and pray for day. And that's really the message, I think, of this. Of course, we have an anchor that enters within the veil. We have an anchor. Our hope, our hope in God is like an anchor of our soul that we can hold on to. And sometimes when the storm comes, you just have to hold on to your anchor and pray for day to come. As the song says, the day breaks cloudless in the morning. Psalm 30 says, sing praises to the Lord, verse 4 and 5, O you his saints, give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Again, just the idea that the trials, the sorrows, the trouble of life usually comes in sort of waves. And very often it's like a night that you have to just make it through, and maybe a night of sadness, a night of weeping, a night of suffering can very often be followed by a new day, joy in the morning, a cloudless morning after the storms. So that's the idea. And I think that's exactly what this song is saying too. When we consider the mornings, how the storm may rage against the evening sky, but the day breaks cloudless in the morning. Verse 2 uses morning in a different sort of way. This is a night of battle followed by a morning of victory. Verse 2 begins, rise. The word rise is over there on the other page at the tail end of the verse there. For some reason, the way they decided to arrange it, they have that there. Rise up to the battle, for the sky dawns clear. So this is almost a picture of beginning of the morning. Now we're engaging in battle. Let us gather courage while the foe draws near. Though the night falls weary, saints of God, march on, and he'll raise our banner in the morning. This is the picture of an enemy that you get up in the morning and you engage in the battle, and you fight all day long, and you're fighting and fighting, and the sun starts to set. Remember, they had this problem with Moses and the people, and they would have him hold his hands up to try to keep the sun up so they could keep fighting. But the night falls, but they're still apparently either fighting to be done or marching to be done, because he said, we got to march on, and we're going to see in the morning that the banner will be raised in the morning. It kind of reminds me of our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, which, not to get too far afield, But the meaning of that is kind of interesting because the picture is, of course, Francis Scott Key was in this boat and there was a fort. It was under attack. And the whole, the song, "Oh Say Can You See by the Dawn's Early Light," you know, is the flag still there? With, you know, through the night, the rockets and the bombs and stuff had been given glimpses of the flag flying over the fort. And he's asking, is it still there? Does it still fly over the home of the brave and the land of the free? Have we been victorious or has the enemy won? Is the question really of the verse of that. But it's like, as the morning dawns, is that flag still waving over the fort? That's what the song is asking. Does it still fly? And this is saying, the song is saying, we've been engaged in a battle all day long. The night has fallen dark. We're marching all night long, but we have this comfort, this knowledge of knowing when the day breaks, God's going to raise a banner. His side's going to be victorious in the morning. So once the struggle is over, once the battle is complete, the day is going to dawn, the sun is going to rise, and it's going to be obvious who has won, and it's going to be God and His side, the side that we're on. So we have to take courage. Saints, take courage, because we have to just march through the night and look forward to that daybreak when we will be victorious. Let me share with you a couple of psalms that fit with this. God is our refuge and strength, Psalm 46 says, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Again, it's the idea that help is coming in the morning. We've got to hang on all night, but God's watching and He's aware. And in the morning, we're going to be victorious. Another one that fits with this in Malachi talks about the coming of the Lord as a day dawning. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. That day is the day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. So again, God's coming here. Coming in judgment is a wonderful thing. It would be like soldiers who are kind of, maybe surrounded and they're waiting for help. They're waiting for back up. They're waiting for, someone to come and rescue them. And they've held their fort. They've held their position. They've been under fire all night long. But in the morning, here comes help. Here comes rescue. Here come the rest of the forces, and they're going to be victorious. And he's basically saying the day is coming when the Lord's going to, he's going to come like the sun rising, and the enemies are going to be like set ablaze, and you will trample over them because you will be victorious in that morning. On that morning when the Lord comes, his side is going to be victorious. And I think that's the meaning of this verse number 2. Let's look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, it's using mourning in the final sense of mourning. When the trumpet sounds to signal heaven's day, resurrection morning, when the dead shall wake, what a glorious gathering, when the Lord descends and we rise to meet Him in the morning. So now this is the final morning of the imagery that this song is using, this morning, the idea of morning in three different ways here. This one is the final morning, the morning of the resurrection, and that's depicted as a morning. Now, of course, that was prefigured by Jesus' own resurrection, which happened, of course, early on a Sunday morning. On the first day of the week, we're told that they came early, early in the morning, and they found the tomb empty. So that the day, it's like the night fell on the night before, with still Jesus in the tomb. The story was looking pretty grim at that point. Everything was dark. In fact, darkness fell during the cross. There was darkness on the land during this time of his crucifixion, and then you had the Sabbath day when Jesus was in the tomb. But Sunday morning, they go to the tomb and it's a whole new day because it's the empty tomb. And that really is a way of kind of, I think, pointing to our own resurrection, of course. when our own tombs will be emptied, and that hope that we have. That I asked Daryl to read this verse for us from 1 Thessalonians 4, which says in verse 16, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." It's not described there in 1 Thessalonians 4 as happening in the morning time. In fact, we're told we don't know when it will be, and I suppose the earth being the way it is, it would be different times for different people, depending on where you happen to be. But the idea of morning being used kind of poetically to describe this resurrection morning, like Jesus' resurrection morning, a resurrection morning for all of us, is sort of used poetically fairly often. In fact, have you ever heard, there's an old African-American spiritual called "In That Great Getting Up Morning." Have you ever, does that ring a bell with anybody? Anybody? No? Yeah? Yes? No? "In That Great Getting Up Morning"? No? No? Yes? No? Okay. That's fine. It's one of those things that sometimes is arranged for choral performances. So if you ever sing with a chorus, it might be one of those. Sometimes it's kind of a funny thing, but anyway. Choruses sometimes sing these, they used to call them Negro spirituals, but that's kind of been replaced. Now we just say African-American spirituals. But it's songs that were written and came out of basically slave times, when people would work in the fields and they had these songs they would sing, and those songs have been beloved and cherished and used, you know, down through the years. And so one of them is called "In That Great Getting Up Morning." And here's a little story behind it I think was kind of neat. This was quoted from a thing that was written in, I think, 1847, given the history of this particular song. The Negro student who brought this spiritual to his instructors at the Hampton University shortly after the Civil War reported that he heard it sung at one of the secret midnight meetings held by the slaves in pre-war days. The student says, "I have heard my uncle sing this hymn, and he told me how it was made. It was made by an old slave who knew nothing about letters or figures. He could not count the number of rails he would split when his master tasked him with splitting 150 a day. But he tried to lead a Christian life, and he dreamed of the great judgment and told his fellow slaves about it, and then made a tune to it and sung it in his camp meetings." So that was the account. I don't know how accurate that is, but that was an account that was orally passed down of the origins of this song "In That Great Getting Up Morning," which is this apparently written by an illiterate slave. It was a song he made up because as he was working all day long slaving for his master, he was thinking about the judgment day. And so the song is long, and it's one of kind of a call and response. It goes, "In that great getting up morning," and then they say, fare thee well, in that great, okay, somebody's heard it. "In that great getting up morning, when you see the moon a-bleeding." And I saw people discussing, like, what does that line mean? But if you know prophecy, you know it's prophecies that talk about the Lord coming and the moon being turned to blood. It's just a prophetic type imagery. "When you hear the rumbling thunder, fare thee well, fare thee well. Oh, pick up your golden trumpet, fare thee well, fare thee well. Oh, blow your trumpet, Gabriel." He's imagining that the trumpet's being blown by Gabriel. I don't think the text said it would be Gabriel blowing it, but that's, you know, that's the way this guy that made up the song says that. And then he says, Lord, how loud can I blow it? Fare thee well, fare thee well. And the answer is, blow it so the people will know it. Fare thee well, in that great getting up morning. Fare thee well. And then it says, blow one blast calm and easy. Fare thee well, to my people that are sleeping. Like to wake them up with this trumpet blast, you know. Fare thee well, in that great getting up morning. Fare thee well. And there's, I listened to several versions of it. If you want to Google that, you can find choruses singing it. And the lyrics seem to vary quite a bit. I think it just depends. It's one of those that was passed down orally, so there's kind of a lot of different versions of it, different words that different people will sing to it. But it's kind of a neat idea of these people who were slaves, and they would have these secret meetings and at night and around a campfire, and they would sing about resurrection morning. They had a hard life. But what got them through it all was thinking about, there's going to be a great getting up morning. There's going to be a day when the Lord's coming back, and it's going to be awesome. And I think maybe you would appreciate that more if your life isn't just wonderful here. You know, maybe we would look forward to it more. Maybe we get too easy, too comfortable, and we enjoy ourselves here, and we almost get the attitude of a country song. It's everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Like, I'm having a good time, and I'm kind of like enjoying things here, and I'll get around to that later, but I'm kind of comfortable. But if you were struggling, if life wasn't any fun, if it was harsh and difficult and you saw suffering and injustice around you, the more of that you appreciate, the more you would look forward to. The day is coming when my Lord's coming back, and He's going to make things right, and He's going to punish the wicked, and He's going to reward those who've been faithful to Him. And let's sing about that, and let's think about that as we work and as we, you know, make it through. And that's the imagery of that song in that great getting up morning. And I think it's the point of this verse 3 as well. Finally, the chorus, to not neglect that, asks the question, how long? How long till we see the morning? How long till we see your face? Oh, my Lord, guide us through our troubles till we rise above them in the morning. Now, this is something that I found several verses. I'm just going to share two with you. But there's several passages where the people of God would say, how long? How long, O Lord? And that's a refrain that you can find in the Scriptures in several places. Here's one in Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In His Word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. It's the idea of like, come on, Lord, come help me. And if you look at that psalm, he's crying out for rescue, for help from God. And he said, I'm waiting for the Lord like a watchman looking for the morning. And you can imagine somebody whose job it is to maybe that fourth watch of the night. And their job is they'll be finished when the day dawns. And so they're on their post and they're watching. But they're looking for that sun to start peeking up over the horizon, for the sky to start changing colors. They're looking for that. And he's saying, the psalmist is saying, I'm looking for God like those people at night looking for the dawn. And that's how we should be longing for the coming and the day of the Lord. Psalm 90, verses 12 and 14. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So, you know, this again, it's this call to satisfy us in the morning with your love. And so that's really what I wanted to share with you tonight. I was asking Sam if he had a separate song, invitation song, but I told him I was going to lead this one when I got finished with the lesson. And so we will sing this also as the invitation song. And I left my, it's on the screen. Good. I've got my pitch pipe down here. Let me grab it. So as we wrap things up, let me just say that our view of that morning depends on our relationship with the Lord, doesn't it? If we think about the Lord's return, how do we feel about that? Well, if we have faith in Him and we love Him and He's our Savior and He's our King and we're looking for that return so we're excited about that. And that's something you look forward to. If we don't know the Lord, if we don't serve Him, if we don't know His ways, then that's nothing. In fact, if we understand how things work in our own guilt and our sin, then we would dread the coming of the Lord, because that would mean that judgment's coming. But if we have been longing for Him and faithful to Him and following Him, then this is something where we can sing the words like this song, like that great getting up morning song, and so many others where people like the psalmist look forward to and long for that day dawning when the Lord comes back to make things right. If there's something in your life that's not right that you need to make right with the Lord, and if that's something that we can help you with, please let us know as we stand and sing this song.